That is the perfect segue to my message today. Thanks, Zach. So my name is Kennada, and today's topic is about forgiveness. In the Lord's Prayer, it finishes with, "And forgive us our debtors, as we forgive those," well, actually, "forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." So Lord, right now, I just lift up this time, and it is before you. I humbly come, and I ask, God, that today your word would be spoken. I ask that only your word would come forth, and that you would just grip our hearts, that you would reveal your love for us, that you would call us forth into our destiny as the body of Christ, and that you would just allow us to receive everything you have from you today. In Jesus' name. Recently, I had the privilege of teaching a course on relationships with a YWAM group, which was my first time to ever teach on the topic, actually. I am passionate about relationship. I love relationships. And actually, relationships are my number one motivator in life, like love relationships. But I actually learned so much during the week. I even had to repent to my family over different things that I learned during the week, like about listening. I was like, oh my gosh, I am not a good listener to my children and even to my husband. So it was really a great privilege to get to teach. And initially, as I was praying for this week, I really had this amazing message bubbling up about peace. And I said, Lord, what do you want? What are we going to talk about? And right away, the first time I asked him, he's like, forgiveness. And I was like, And I kept going through the week praying about what to talk about, and I had this really great thing on peace. But it's forgiveness. He wants to speak today about forgiveness. And the reason that relationships are so important in the kingdom and in the body of Christ. You know, the Bible says that they will know us by our love. So as recipients of God's great and enduring love, we receive the honor and the responsibility of relating to one another in love. It is possible to have biblical convictions about, you know, how we want to do life and loving people radically, but without actually having the tools to walk that out. You know, like it takes work to grow in relationship and to grow in ourselves. And so, as people of God's kingdom, we reflect the nature of God. Just like Zach was saying, the Lord sent Jesus to the earth to reveal the Father. And now Jesus has gone to be with the Father. He sent us the Holy Spirit, and he says, now you reveal the Father. You reveal. You are the testimony of Jesus on the earth. And so it's really important that we as believers work hard to walk in unity and to walk in love, to do the work that it takes to become healthy and whole people who can relate in a way that reveals Christ to everyone that is around us. When our life as believers is grounded in who God is and how he relates to us, and in who we are and how we relate with others and with him, this is the main thing. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. So we must be grounded in biblical truth if we desire to live out healthy relationships that demonstrate his kingdom. As you know, conflict is a major part of relationships. Would anyone agree? Okay. We were born into this cosmic conflict of good versus evil. And as believers, we have been reborn into a kingdom of reconciliation, ruled by the Prince of Peace and commissioned as ambassadors. The word conflict actually comes from the Latin word conflictus, which means the act of striking together. In Proverbs 27:17, it talks about how iron sharpens iron. so one man sharpens another. Hopefully, conflict is this, it has this inherent potential to make us all sharper, right? If we deal with it in an honoring way, if we are humble in it. And hold on, I wanted to look at these. Because, you know, we all know in part and we see in part, and each one of us carries a different perspective of God. What he's placed in us is unique to what he's placed in anyone else. So we all see and we carry a different perspective of the Lord. So conflict can actually become this effective and productive thing when we learn how to communicate with honor, honoring our differences with a heart to collaborate and come together. I wanted to read from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 18 through 26, because, you know, we all hear so much about the different parts of the body and how you're an eye and one person's an arm and the other person's the leg and how necessary we are to the whole body functioning. But I like the next part, beginning in verse 18. Previously, he says, if the eye, you know, he just talks about all the parts of the body. But verse 18 says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we actually need to treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You know, I heard recently this phrase, and this was just, there is no perfect church. And sure, we've all heard of this, but even in my own heart, you know, you look for this perfect place that you want to worship, that you feel at home, that you feel is all these things that you're looking for. But the bottom line is there is no perfect church. There are no perfect people, only Jesus, only the Father. And so it was just this huge release, like, we are all called to be a body, and every person is valuable, from the weakest to the strongest, and I just love this commissioning about how we are to love and protect and rejoice in and help the body. And because of all these things, there is conflict in the body, you know? I mean, just like the head saying to the foot, I don't need you. Sometimes we actually feel like that about circumstances and sometimes even people and sometimes even things going on. But the Lord said, I have assembled you exactly the way I desire it. And so as believers, as ones put on the earth to reveal Christ to other people, it is so important that we learn how to love. So oftentimes, conflict and all these dynamics that are happening leave us hurt or wounded and hard things happening. which is why today we're going to talk about forgiveness. Not only is it a tool for healthy relationships, but it's a command from the Word of God. In Colossians 3, 12 and 13, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and clearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Matthew 6, 14 and 15. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." The best example is a story that Jesus told. Actually, with the YWAM group, we had the privilege of going to St. Peter Galakantu, the church where the place where the rooster crowed before Jesus's death on the cross. And even as we were going there, the Lord just dropped this passage in my spirit. And so it comes from Matthew 18, verse 21 to 35. And what I find ironic about this is Peter is the one who comes to Jesus and he asks, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" So this is Peter. This is, I asked Gary, and he said, this is probably maybe about a year, not more than a year, before Jesus' death, and before the time when Peter himself would have been denying Jesus. Okay, so about a year before, this is incredible foreshadowing. He's asking Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? And so Jesus says, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay you back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began choking him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and he had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and they told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I have had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." This is a strong word. We have been forgiven much. And our forgiveness cost Jesus everything. Even in our brokenness, he delights to forgive us. He desires relationship with us. He desires reconciliation. So what if we delighted in showing mercy to our offenders? What if we delighted in giving the gift that we've received? When we hold unforgiveness in our own hearts, it causes bitterness. It causes pain. There is nothing fruitful that comes from unforgiveness. You know, and the person that hurt us is oftentimes, they've moved on. They're doing their thing. They've moved on. And we're the ones that are suffering from our own unforgiveness. Justin mentioned a phrase last night. He said, harboring unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. The command to forgive is that we would walk in the fullness of life that God has for us. I was also researching a little bit, and it, you know, you can find a lot of things on the internet, but somebody asked, well, why 70 times 7? Like, why would he say 70 times 7? So one person mentioned, you know, there's 490 years of slavery in Egypt. And another person mentioned that there are 490 is the numerical value of the biblical Hebrew word tamim, which means complete, perfect, whole, finished. And, you know, the work on the cross was the complete, entire, finished work of forgiveness for every sin that we will ever commit. And the forgiveness that we have received allows us, when we walk in forgiveness, when we walk in the command to forgive, then we can actually walk with wholeness of heart. He desires that we can have a complete and whole heart according to the finished, gracious work on the cross. Micah 7, 18 and 19 says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever. You delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. So, Lord, I pray that we, as believers, even today, God, that we would receive the full work of forgiveness on the cross, the forgiveness and the redemption and the reconciliation that you purchased for us on the cross, God. Today, Lord, we receive your forgiveness. You have indeed forgiven us of every sin. Lord, so even today, I pray that you would draw us into a place of repentance, that before you, we would just come to you with open hearts and open lives to receive your forgiveness. And I pray, God, that you would give us a desire to show mercy as you have shown us, that really we would delight in partnering with this work to show others mercy. Lord, we desire to walk in love. We desire to be the body of Christ that reveals your great love, your peace, your presence, your goodness, your unity to people around us, God. So help us, Lord. I ask that you would give us the desire to grow in relationship, to grow in unity, to grow in and of ourselves, that we would indeed give the fullest, greatest testimony in the context of the body, in the context of relationship. that you would be glorified. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So even as we close in a song, I would like to challenge you guys that if there's anyone that you need to forgive, that you would ask the Lord to help you, that he would even bring people to mind, that he desires that you would have freedom. He desires that you would walk in radical love. And he desires to show himself great through you. So, even as we close, I just encourage you to do the work and let him help you to walk in greater levels of forgiveness today.